Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization.
Angelica, work, Eliza, and Peggy, work.
Good evening, I'm Hugh Down.
No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened.
Wear a mask when social distancing is not possible.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot.
That our economy is roaring back. It's coming back extremely strong.
Fire that sucker off.
And the evil one crept up and slipped away with her.
That's my false setup.
Bad and bougie.
Well, that is a short list worthy of an Independence Day, July 4th weekend. Well done, Carl. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Great to have Carl here and Brian Feldman. I'll screw up Brian's name a couple more times this morning because my brother is Ryan, right? So growing up, my brother's 10 years younger than me. So growing up, I was always correcting everyone that his name was Ryan, not Brian. So, you know, I'm going to fall into that habit of the reverse on poor Brian Feldman. So great to have Brian with us as well.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. No worries.
I've
been called far worse things in my life than Ryan.
Brian, you and me both. So Brian, great news. I'd kind of forgotten because the baseball talks were so back and forth for so long. Yeah. And one day we're going to have a season. The next day, people I know like yourself and Tom Ackerman down at Camo X were like, nah, not going to happen probably. And so it was hard to really tell. It's here. We're going to have baseball. That should make people happy.
This is what, you know, this country needs. Needs a distraction. Needs something, some sense of normalcy. And there's not going to be anything normal about this baseball season that happens. I mean, seeing players in the stands to social distance, not seeing anybody shake hands or high five or no spitting allowed. I mean, there's going to be so many weird rules, but at least it's something. And a weird season is better than no season. So this country needs something to get back to some sense of normalcy, and baseball's a huge part of it.
Brian, those are truer words never spoken. I mean, the fact that we need some distraction has been evident over the last few months. Wherever people may be on the whys and hows of what we've been through, we definitely need more to do, and baseball is one of those great things. And Brian, I guess we've kind of gotten used to weird, haven't we? So might as well have a weird baseball season on top of it.
Everything's weird. Life is weird. Work is weird. I mean, let's just add on DH in the National League, a 60-game season, and you know, it's just a lot of craziness. But it's gonna be fun. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that are the traditional diehards and say, no, I love baseball this way. But when you're faced with the reality of here's the way it's going to be and you're going to like it because it's all there is, I think people will start to come around to it and kind of like it. So I think baseball is going to change anyway in a couple of years with the new CBA negotiations coming up. So this is just going to be a little test to get some of the more traditionalists on board with the way you're probably going to see baseball in the future.
So, Brian, I've lost track between the different discussions between hockey and baseball and the NFL and college football. With Major League Baseball, are they going to play in every stadium or only certain stadiums, or how does that all work? Are they going to travel? What's going on with the where they're going to be?
Yeah, they're going to play in their home stadiums. Now, the way that they're doing it is they are making it where, so the Cardinals are in the National League Central. They're only going to play teams in their region. So they're going to play the vast majority of their games, I think it's 40, in the National League Central. So they'll play the Cubs, they'll play the Brewers, you know, they'll play the Pirates, they'll play the Reds. Then they're going to play the teams in the American League Central. So that's the White Sox, the Twins, Indians, Royals, like that.
Which is bad because we were supposed to have the Yankees and the Red Sox. We were supposed to be playing the American League East.
Right. So teams will play in their own stadiums. They will travel, but they're making the schedule around not having to travel cross country a lot in that respect. Now, there is some talk of some some teams being in cities where it might be hard to play in their own ballpark. I've seen some stories about, I think, Toronto. I think there might be some issues, you know, just in Canada there. So, but no, I mean, all by and by, everyone's going to play in their own stadiums and travel. Okay. They're just going to make it based on the schedule of who you play to kind of limit some of that travel.
More regional. And let me ask Carl, my resident hockey expert. Carl, where is hockey? Where's the NHL now? They're starting soon, right?
They've started their camps already, but they have not announced what the season is going to look like. Well, they've announced what the season is going to look like, but they've not announced where, and they have not announced when. So they're going to have two hub cities, one on the west and one on the east, but they have not announced who those are going to be, and they have not announced when anything's going to happen.
And they're starting with playoffs, right? Like they're saying
season's... They're starting with playoffs, but the top four teams in each league, west and east, they're going to do a round robin for seeding, and then the other teams are going to play in a play-in, actually. It's going to be a play-in. So kind of like the NCAA first round.
Okay.
But the top
Which
four
Which we
teams,
also didn't have this year.
Right. But the top four teams are going to play round robin for seeding. And the Blues are number one in the West. So technically the Blues won the Western Division Championship.
2 years in a row. Very good. Yeah. Yay. But
it doesn't work like that. You still have to play the games, Tim.
Still have to play the games, yeah. So yeah, it is all strange. I've been trying to watch some of the PGA on TV. I'm a huge golf fan. That's kind of my thing, you know, and I've been watching it. I'm glad it's on. It's a little weird to watch because usually what I do is, especially on the weekends, right, if I'm working inside or prepping for my show on Sunday, I'll turn it on, have it in the background. And you're used to looking up at the television when you hear the roar of the crowd, right, and you can see what's going on. Well, there's never a roar of the crowd, right? So... because there is no crowd. This past weekend, where they played the this tournament, they had the Travelers. They had the Travelers tournament up in Connecticut. They must have had a few more people on the course than the previous tournaments because there were, I don't know if it was the family members or like their entourages, but every once in a while you'd hear like two or three people go, yeah, you know, in the background. It's like watching me and my buddies play golf over the weekend, you know, and having one or two people cheering or something. So it's been great having that. It is weird though without it's a. I never thought, fellas, that what they say about the crowd. I never thought about it as deeply as now because the crowd does make a difference in sports. We're all part of it, actually, right? And
that's
when you don't have
saying.
Crowds, they're cheering. It's weird.
They're saying that home field advantage will be a thing of the past this year. For every sport.
There's a great commercial with Ricky Fowler. He does, I think, those Farmers Insurance commercials. And there's one where they made it just a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, right in the middle of all this. And he was out practicing or something. And he hits a shot. There's nobody around, right? He's all by himself. He hits the shot. Great shot. It lands on the green. He reaches down and presses a button on his phone and like the crowd noise erupts. So I thought that was pretty clever. That was cute. But yeah, that's kind of the new normal we're in, but at least we're getting some reminders of normal, of a Major League Baseball season, of an NHL season. The PGA is playing. There is NASCAR if you're into that. That's been going on for quite a while now.
Basketball's going to start at the end of the month.
Basketball's going to start. There was a period there back in, I guess, late April, early May, where there were still like no sports. And one of my buddies across the street where I live in Eureka, he's a huge sports guy, right? I mean, that is his thing. I mean, he's one of the guys that can rattle off the stats and the figures, probably like Brian there. And Carl, I know you can as well, and especially with hockey and stuff. And so my buddy Jeff is like that. And he was suffering. I mean, you know, he was fine. He was all good. It was all in jest, but we were teasing him a lot because he had nothing on. So one night, we're outside, and a lot of times they'll, like, in the playoff seasons, Jeff and his wife Becky, they'll get their projector out, and they'll show the games on their garage door, right? And it looks like a freaking 7-foot big screen. And so Jeff did that one night. We were all in our little cul-de-sac, and we're flipping back and forth between, let's see, what was on during that time? It was, there was some UFC fighting. There was Korean Baseball League. there was women's wrestling of some sort, and there was virtual NASCAR. Those were the four sports we were watching that night, and nobody was really watching them.
You could have just played a video game, and it would have been the same.
We could have done that. Oh, wow. Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break here in just a second. Let me tell you what we got coming up the rest of this hour on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Tim Jones in the big chair, if you haven't noticed by now. You can also follow me, I forgot to mention this, at Speaker Tim Jones on Facebook or Twitter. At Speaker Jim Jones on Facebook or Twitter. I keep you up to speed with everything that's going on when I'm not on the air. We'll come back and chat for another segment. And then at 6:35, I've got Sam Adolphson on. He's the policy director at the FGA, which is the Foundation for Government Accountability. They're a national think tank. More importantly, for our purposes here in Missouri right now, he is the former COO and Deputy Commissioner of Finance at the Maine. Yes, the great state of Maine. I love the state of Maine. I got some great friends up there. Department of Health and Human Services. Why is that important? Well, because he oversaw the Medicaid expansion program in Maine. And let me tell you, there's more to meets the eye than what you're going to hear over the next month as you're deluged with all sorts of commercials and ads because Medicaid expansion is on our ballot August 4th. It sounds great on the front end, but when you start digging deeper, I have a feeling Sam will have some problems with it. We'll talk to him at 6:35. You keep it right here. We'll be back right after this. It's Tim Jones in for Mark Cox all morning this morning at 97.1 FM Talk.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We saw payrolls up 4.8 million, climbing to over 11%. So let's just look at this for a moment. Jobless rate at 11.1%. That's a drop, so that's a positive. But remember, Savannah, this is a very confusing time because June is when we saw the country start to reopen. All 50 states had some level of reopening, so it's a big positive to see this much hiring across the board.
His first frame, the testament to his pain.
That was Stephanie Ruhle there on the details of the jobs report. When you dig into it, there's a lot of great material there. Carl, I have not seen it yet, believe it or not, Hamilton, but are these Hamilton cuts you're playing this morning?
Yes, sir.
I thought they were, because there's some big news on Hamilton, right?
It's on Disney Plus right now.
There you go, folks. You can see it. You can see it while you're vacationing at home or such.
It was recorded 4 years ago. Back when you could have people in a theater.
In a place.
But this is the original Broadway cast. So it has it's got Lin-Manuel Miranda and everyone that was in the original cast, like David Diggs and not Jonathan Groff. We're going to play my favorite song later. But.
Okay, well, cool. Well, very good. Well, folks, there's another thing for you to check out this Independence Day weekend, this holiday weekend. I have a feeling a lot of folks will be traveling more by car this summer, you know, just for fears of the virus, but also because of it. It's not going to be, I haven't flown since March, but I know I will probably in the next few weeks or month or so, and it's going to be complicated, right? It's already complicated in a post 9/11 world to fly. We've all kind of used to that over the last 19 years. Oh my goodness, it's been 19 years. Wow, we're going to have the 19th year anniversary mark of 9/11 this September. But on top of it, now you put a global pandemic, right, on all of the requirements of flying. And should be very interesting. Supposed to go somewhere in mid-July via air, but that now is in question. You know, it's interesting. We're in this like perpetual Groundhog Day loop, right, with all of our usual things we do on an annual basis. So there's certain conferences and things that I usually attend in my capacity, my full-time employment at First Rule Media Network, which we've done a lot of cooperative things with 97.1 FM Talk over the last many years that I've been with the company. But I'm the communications director over there, and I work on a lot of national political projects. And so there's different groups I belong to, and they all have conferences and things. And so we get a lot of our work done. The Zoom and the Microsoft Teams or Google Meets or whatever you're doing right now, great technology. I can't imagine we would be as locked down and anxious as we've been over the last few months, like Brian and I talked about in the last segment. It would have been probably 1,000 times worse if we didn't have the technology that we do today of the things I just mentioned. And those are great. But, you know, I think we've all learned over the last 3 months or so that sometimes you need that personal touch. You need that human contact. There's something about networking and catching up with somebody in person. And so, yeah, I had all these conferences like many of you all did and things you were supposed to go to. And back in March and April, we were like, okay, well, we'll move those to June. It'll be fine by June. You know, and then we get to June and it was not fine. So, okay, well, we'll move them to August. And, you know, and now we're in July and people are looking at their August calendars and going, are we, you know? And here's the thing though, the media is telling you only one thing every day, and that's the case count. And that's important, but that's like half of the story, right? That's like not giving you the other side of the coin that you also need to be aware of, which is hospitalizations, ICU, and death rate. And I just heard it this morning as I was getting ready to jump on here. The Big Fox was reporting that thankfully, death rate is not increasing. Now, we're going to have to wait a couple weeks as we see if the lag changes anything, right? Because of course, cases first and then everything after, right? But as to this point, you know, we are now well over a month past Memorial Day when we first opened up America's doors and people started first getting back together. The death rate from the Memorial Day period has not increased. And that was the first time people got together in mass for a long time. Now we're experiencing, some would say, you know, a spike in the first surge. Some claim this is the second surge. I don't know what surge it is. All I know is we're still dealing with it. And so we have to. But in the midst of all that, we've had this incredible economic news. And there was a great article that I'll get to in a segment or two about the details of the jobs report. And the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal wrote a great piece on this. They said, you know, despite the fact that the media continues to be the grim reapers and predict catastrophe every single month, we get a better jobs report than the one before it. The economy beating all forecasts, adding 4.8 million jobs. Unemployment rate fell from 13.3 to 11%. Businesses are hiring. Americans are going back to work. I'm seeing the signs all over my little hometown of Eureka of people rehiring and getting back into action. Hey, we've got an important ballot question coming up here in Missouri. August 4th is primary day. Are you registered to vote? Are you ready to roll? Did you get your absentee ballot maybe already? You're deciding what to do? Sam Adolphson of the FGA will talk to us about Medicaid expansion. Lots more to learn than what you're just going to hear in the ads and the commercials. Keep it right here. We'll explain it at 97.1 FM Talk.
Today's announcement proves that our economy is roaring back. It's coming back extremely strong. We have some areas where we're putting out the flames or the fires, and that's working out well. We're working very closely with governors, and I think it's working out very well. I think you'll see that shortly.
Well, that was President Trump on the jobs report yesterday, and it was all good news. It was hard to find any bad news in it. All the trend lines seem to be going in the right direction. I'll tell you what, though. One way to have some bad news is to let governments run wild. And boy, we've seen some of that on the federal level, not just in this pandemic, but for many years. And Republicans are guilty of it, too. I mean, that was one of the big knocks on President George W. Bush was that he expanded government massively. And President Trump is acting, he's trying to be more Reagan-esque and try to put some restraints on government and give us some tax cuts and some relief and let people keep more of their money. But you know, the alleged do-gooders never stop trying to, quote, do good, even when they're actually doing bad. And one of those subjects happens to be Medicaid expansion. It's been sweeping the nation for the last 10 years or so because of Obamacare. Let's remember we're Medicaid expansion nowadays. In the 2020 era and the preceding few years has come from. It came from the giant carrot that was buried, not really buried, it was part and parcel of the Obamacare legislation, which itself is on the ropes. There's some very important cases working their way up to the Supreme Court again on Obamacare. We'll see if maybe Chief Justice John Roberts can get it right this time. Boy, he's been a disappointment. Although there were some bright spots in the Supreme Court term. One of those was on educational freedom, and I'll get to that later. But back to Medicaid expansion. We're going to have that question on our ballot, as I've been talking to you about all morning. It's coming up August the 4th. It's on the primary ballot. Yes, it is. No matter which ballot you take in August, that's the primary one. The primary, folks, is the one where you walk in and you got to choose a ballot, right? You got to say, I want the Democratic ballot, I want the Republican ballot, or I want the independent. You know, I just want the independent. And in Missouri, you generally choose one or the other, Republican or Democratic ballot. But this question will be on both. And so no matter who you're wanting to vote for, you will have this issue to decide, and that's whether Missouri should expand its Medicaid program. And to help us sort through all of that and some of the, as Joe Biden might say, the malarkey you might hear over the next few weeks about that is Sam Adolphson, who is the policy director over at the FGA, the Foundation for Government Accountability. And for our purposes here, he's got a very important spot on his resume where he was the chief operating officer and the deputy commissioner of finance in the great state of Maine. Sam, welcome to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Tim Jones in today. Glad to speak with you, sir.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and Sam, first of all, I'll bet you we know a few people in common. One of my very good friends is former state senator, current presiding commissioner, Andre Cushing up there in Maine. I bet you know Andre.
I absolutely do know Andre, and he was instrumental to our many, many battles in Maine over Medicaid expansion over the past couple decades here.
So, Sam, tell us, before we get to the Missouri question, give us a nutshell of the experience of Maine with Medicaid expansion. How did it happen? And then what problems did you have to deal with?
Sure. So Maine is a really unique state, not just in the fact that we have a lot of lobster and the beautiful ocean up here, but we were the first state to expand Medicaid, and we did it actually long before Obamacare. We did it back in the early 2000s. We had folks up here who thought, hey, let's go ahead and cover 100,000 able-bodied adults on Medicaid, try it out. So they got permission to do that from the federal government, and the results really were disastrous for the budget. Within a few years, we owed hospitals $750 million with no repayment plan at all. We had disabled individuals on waiting lists for services they needed, and we had these huge budget holes every single year. So we kind of experienced what happens when you expand this program meant for the truly needy to a whole class of new able-bodied adults who can go to work. And so we eventually repealed that expansion. And again, this was before Obamacare, and then Obamacare came in and replicated that disaster here for a large part of the country.
Yeah, Sam, it seems like with this particular item, we never learn, do we? Because it sounds so good on the front end, or at least the proponents make it sound so good. They say, who wouldn't want to have more access to health care for the poor? But Sam, as you just pointed out, many, if not all states already provide Medicaid for the truly needy and the poor, right, Sam? They already, and Missouri does. I know we do. We cover the elderly, the blind, the disabled, children. It sounds like Maine did as well. Sam, isn't Medicaid expansion in almost all cases, and what we're talking about here in Missouri, we're expanding the program to those who are able-bodied adults able to work in the workforce?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think Missouri voters really want to ask themselves a couple questions around that. One is that you mentioned, Tim, is what does Missouri's Medicaid program look like right now? And it turns out that you already spend 40% of your state budget on Medicaid today. Hmm. You actually spend a greater percentage of your state budget on Medicaid than any other state in the nation already. Without Medicaid expansion, you cover almost 1 million people. There's a long list of folks that you cover. You're very generous with your program. as it stands today. And you know, the other thing that voters really need to ask is, who does it cover? And it doesn't cover children. It doesn't cover the elderly. It doesn't cover disabled folks, pregnant women. This covers able-bodied adults who are not disabled. Most don't have children. And really, these are folks that need to be in the workforce. They need to go to work and be in the economy. And so the other thing is that 2 out of 3 that will be covered under expansion already have private insurance, or they have access to it now. So this isn't as if every single person is uninsured with no options. This is covering able-bodied adults, many of whom already have private insurance today.
And Sam, isn't it also true that I think I saw this, one of the most shocking things that I saw on the ballot proposition is that it's actually, it's going to put into our Constitution, folks need to know that as well, this ballot proposition is a constitutional amendment. Sam, I saw a provision in there where it's basically going to disincentivize people from working. It's going to prevent the state from having work requirements for work. So we're going to take able-bodied Americans off of whatever they have now or whatever they have access to now. We're going to put them on a massive expanded welfare program, and we're going to incentivize them to not get into the workforce or not increase their aspects of employment.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, you're special there in Missouri in a really bad way, which is, while some other states have passed expansion on the ballot, it was more of a traditional, you know, standard law. You're actually putting it in your constitution if you pass it. And there's that provision that you mentioned that does not allow you to be flexible with your program at all. You can't make changes. You can't ask folks to, you know, go to work or pay a little bit of a premium or pay co-pays, different things that you see other states doing to try to mitigate the very expensive costs of this program and make sure people are working. Missouri won't be able to do that. And it will be very difficult to make any modifications or adjustments to this program. And we know they're going to be needed because of the issues with the coronavirus and the expanding caseloads you already have. So it's really unfortunate that this is kind of the path that Missouri's headed down. And I think this is why voters, you know, they have a month here to really think through carefully these different issues. What does it cost? Who's going to pay for it? And make sure they really get it right.
Sam, can I hold you over for one more segment? I would love to get into some of the myths that we're going to hear about Medicaid expansion here in Missouri over the next 30 days or so. Can I hold you over for one more segment?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Great. I want to talk to Sam. Sam Adolphson is our guest right now. He's the policy director at the Foundation for Government Accountability, formerly with the state of Maine, overseeing what Sam described as their failed Medicaid expansion foray. That was then copied by a lot of states after the Obamacare bill. And what you're going to hear, folks, that I'm going to talk to Sam about is the fact that this is all, quote, free money that Missourians have been rejecting for the last 10 years. And why don't we just dip our hands into this giant trough of free money? Is it really free money? Also, the fact that rural hospitals are going to close if we don't expand Medicaid. And the fact that this is going to be some big boon for our state budget, and it's not going to affect anything else. In fact, it's just going to be the land of milk and honey. We're going to talk to Sam about all those things that you're going to hear, whether they're true or not, when we return. Tim Jones in for Mark Cox all morning this morning at the Mark Cox Morning Show. Keep it right here on 97.1 FM. Talk more Medicaid expansion talk up next. Some summer music for y'all. A little bro country. Little FGL. Yeah, this always reminds me of summer. Thanks to Carl for being in with us today. The regular crew is all off enjoying the long holiday weekend. We've got Brian, Carl, and I in taking care of you all this morning. And we're going to continue now with my guest, who is Sam Adolphson, the policy director at FGA, which is the Foundation for Government Accountability. And if you want to check out everything that Sam and the FGA are doing, you can do that on Twitter and also on their website. Sam is at Sam Adolphson, and you can find out everything FGA at the FGA. So very simple. He's also the former chief operating officer and deputy commissioner of finance From the great state of Maine, which, Sam, I've been privileged to visit several times. A beautiful, beautiful country up there. I've been up to Bar Harbor and the Acadia National Forest and all that. It's just a wonderful state. But one thing that was not so wonderful was you experimented with Medicaid expansion a few years back, and you've been talking to us about that. Sam, I'd like you to help us dispel some of the myths people are going to hear. There's going to be a big campaign here in Missouri. We've got an August primary date of August the 4th. Folks, be prepared for that election. Be informed. Medicaid expansion is going to be one of the proposals. And as we were talking in the last segment, it's going to be put in our Constitution of all places. Makes it very difficult to amend or to deal with if there's problems on the back end. Sam, one of the things we hear is that this is all free money from the federal government, and Missourians are losing out because we have not taken advantage of all this free money that the feds are offering. What would you say to that argument from the pro-expander side?
Yeah, you know, you've heard from a bunch of folks down there, hospitals and Nicole Galloway, Washington University, and some others, that this will save money. And just think about that for a minute. You know, voters need to think that through. When's the last time a massive government program saved you money? It just doesn't work that way. I mean, right. This program, it already consumes almost half of your budget, and somehow expanding it by 500,000-600,000 more people is supposed to save money. So if that were true, California, which expanded back in 2014 to about 4 million people, they just closed a $54 billion shortfall. New York, which was one of the first expansion states, they had a $6 billion Medicaid shortfall before the coronavirus hit. Mm. And so this myth that somehow you're going to do a bunch of clever things with this program and magically save money, it's just that. It's a myth.
Billions and billions. Yeah. That's a really incredible. So much for the free money.
Yeah, and it's going to cost taxpayers $35 billion over 10 years. In Missouri, you're looking at about $350 million additional state tax dollars each year.
And so, Sam, that's going to have a real live effect on the budget. It happened in Maine. It's happened in many other states. I think last count I saw 14 states are having to deal now with the effects of this. We're going to lose out on funding for education and other social services, right? It's simple math, Sam, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's it's really a question voters need to look at. It's kind of the dirty little secret here. Where is all that money coming from? And, you know, sadly, it's coming from taxpayers' pockets. And it's like you mentioned, it's coming out of other state priorities. It's coming from schools, public safety. It's coming from nursing homes. And it's going to come from tax hikes. You know, that's how California just closed their budget gap. They cut schools and they put a big tax hike on their taxpayers. And so we know that's what's going to happen. We've seen it play out over and over again. And it'd be really unfortunate for Missouri to have to go through that same series of problems.
Boy, it sure would. Sam, we've got to run. I could probably talk to you the rest of the morning about this. It's been a fascinating conversation. Folks, follow him at Sam Adolphson. You can check out all of their data at thefga.org. Sam Adolphson, thanks so much for your time this morning. I wish you a very happy Independence Day holiday weekend. Stay safe out there, and I bet you we'll talk again soon.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.